Welcome to the Magic Potion Podcast, where a sprinkle and a dash can enhance your class. Listen to learn about tools, techniques, and stories from educators on ways to improve your lessons, create a positive culture, and much more. Episode 1, Where Does EdTech Fit In? In this episode, we're going to take a look specifically at educational technology and where it can fit in with your lessons. Hi there. Thanks for joining me today as I talk about educational technology and where it fits in with lessons. Recently, I was following a conversation on Twitter between Alice Keeler and Craig Clement. Sorry if I pronounced your name wrong there, Craig. And the discussion was regarding recent changes with Google Classroom and Google Forms. And when you're using a managed Chromebook, you now have the option to lock down a form so that students can't access other websites. So there's kind of two sides there. There's a group of educators out there that love this idea to where students cannot open up new tabs, new browser windows, anything like that to be able to access information or to cheat on their tests. Whereas the flip side is, are we creating assessments that are really gauging what students know? If an answer can be Googled, it will be Googled. So are we setting ourselves up with assessments that aren't necessarily authentic and really demonstrating what students know? Or are they just trying to pop off facts or anything like that? You know, it's a whole different world that we live in today. So being this first episode, you might not know me, so I want to give you a little bit of background about myself, and then we can look at, maybe then you can understand where I come from with my thoughts here. So in college, I wanted to be a wrestling coach. That's what I wanted to do when I graduated college, and I thought the best option for me would be to go into education. A little stereotypical there, kind of a cliche. But that's what I wanted to do at the time. And little did I know that that has really guided me to where I am today with a passion for educational technology and infusing it in classrooms. So during my undergrad, I also worked at a local retail store that sold technology. And I was I was the resident technician. So I was in charge of repairing customers' computers, having that discussion with them and everything. So some customer support there, as well as a sales position where I'd be out on the floor selling computers, printers, everything that we had available to us. So over those years, I worked there for 9-10 years or so, continued on when I got my current job, but when I started teaching after I graduated college and started teaching, I was still in the same town, so I was able to continue working that as a second job. And over the years, that has allowed me to kind of look at technology from many different angles. As a consumer, obviously, we're all consumers of technology. I was examining it as a sales representative, as somebody had to do repair work. And then after college, I'm really examining it as an educator. And that's my current role when I'm looking at educational technology out there. You know, when I started about a decade ago, interactive whiteboards were all the rage. That was the big thing that was coming out in the school where I started. There were only a couple projectors, a couple teachers had smart boards. I don't even know what our other building had at the time. But then when I moved into the role as technology coordinator about six years ago, we've really ramped things up. And I think a lot of schools have done that around that same time period too, to where now between the two buildings that I work in, we are completely covered with wireless internet access. We have devices everywhere. You know, our students in grade 7 to 12 all have MacBooks. All of our students in grades K to 6 have iPads at their disposal all day, every day there. So going back to this conversation that was going on Twitter, Alice Keeler and Craig Clement are talking about how they feel about assessment and all that stuff. But Craig goes and says, yep, let's not use technology to restrict or limit our students, but use tech to do things we previously couldn't do. Now, for me, that really hit home because I've never taken a time to sit back and think what teaching in a classroom was really like before we had all these options. You know, whiteboards were coming up, like I said, and Wi-Fi and having devices for students to quickly go out and access facts. That wasn't a thing 15, 20 years ago. You know, you'd have to, maybe you had a mobile cart with some laptops or you had a lab you could go to, but that wasn't necessarily an all day, everyday thing that you could check out. So these luxuries, and really they are luxuries because not every school can afford them. You know, there's the big push to have everybody be one-to-one, but there's a lot of schools out there that they don't have iPads, that don't have Chromebooks, that don't have things in front of them. So if you do have that option in your classroom, consider yourself lucky, but at the same time, you need to use it effectively. Something to promote here. You know, with what I like to think about when I'm examining technology options, I like to hit the three E's. I came up with these years ago, but they've done a really good job at helping focus on what I want to do when I evaluate a specific, you know, new tech tool or something like that. And those are engage, enhance, and extend. First and foremost, is this technology tool going to engage your students? Now, that's kind of twofold. Engaging can also end up being distracting. So you don't really want to cross that line. Even with this one-to-one setting, you have to figure out how you can help focus your students in on the task at hand at any given point in time. Now, I've had plenty of conversations at various conferences with teachers and everything regarding when students have laptops or iPads in front of them while they're playing games or they're watching videos on YouTube. Okay, so I think that kind of comes down to, well, what are you doing up in front of the class? What is that lesson that day? Your students are not engaged actively in that lesson that you have with your students. So when I was a student, if I was bored in a classroom, I would be doodling. Students today are just using the technology that's in front of them. So yes, by all means, you want to limit that. But I don't think you have to look at it as a discipline issue with the student. Take it a little internally with this concept of, if that student is not engaged in what I'm teaching today or what we're doing as an activity, well, there's something I'm doing wrong. How can I reach out to that specific student? Or heaven forbid, it's multiple students or entire group or the entire class. So that technology that you're looking to use in this lesson, is it going to engage the students actively in the lesson itself? An example I can give for that was I hopped in and helped a teacher a few years ago with a Revolutionary War. The students were talking about the different battles and stuff that had gone on in the United States. And I had recently learned about CoSpaces for building virtual reality. And in that classroom, we had MacBooks for all the students. And I reached out to the teacher and she was more than happy to let me come in. She wasn't very confident in her skills as an educator with technology. But we both had that background in social studies, and she was really open to letting me come in and help out and allowing me to have a connection with students again. Since I'm not in the classroom anymore, that's one of the things I miss. So any opportunity I have, I like to get in there. But anyways, I come in, I give the kids a tutorial on just quick, here's all the tools, here's what they do. I'm not an expert at all, so please look around and help your classmates. We go over what the requirements are, specifically, okay, you're rebuilding a battle scene. You need to tell us who it is and try to make it as accurate as possible with the environment and everything like that. And we just sat back and just observed and watched them go. And there's two students that really stuck out to me was One that was usually a student that was bouncing off the walls, always asking questions that were kind of taking the conversation in classroom one way or the other instead of the direction that the teacher was hoping to go. That student, when we did this lesson, their eyes were on that computer. Their fingers were on the keyboard trying to manipulate and create. And I think that's the real key word here is create. The students weren't consuming virtual reality. They were creating it with their own hands. So the student that may have been a classroom behavior management issue in the past, his full attention was to the project at hand. And that is really what comes to mind when I say, does this tool engage your students in the classroom? Now, the other student that really comes to mind when I'm talking about this lesson in particular was one that if you had them writing a paper or doing some other sort of report or doing a test, paper test, they might not have done very well. No, not really, really bad, but average, a little bit above average. This student was just infatuated with creating and making this virtual reality environment that not only were they focused in the classroom, they were going home. They were making their own projects. They were rebuilding their house. They were rebuilding the school. And when it came time to present, I was just hammering this student with questions specifically to that battle scene that they had created. And just for the heck of it, I said, well, why did you pick the background that had snow on the ground? Had no problem firing right back at me. Well, the battle was in New York State in December. So I thought that there would probably be snow on the ground. And that was perfect. That wasn't anything they read in the text or anything, but that's what they inferred because they were envisioning the lesson, envisioning the battle scene in their head, using just coming up with this vision in their head as to what it was that their teacher was lecturing them about or that they were reading in a previous lesson. So that to me is, that's engaging. When I say, does this tool engage the student? Is it going to get those ones that traditional lessons don't reach out to? Okay, it should be getting all of the students, obviously, but is this going to help the class as a whole and help get everybody focused on the task at hand and make them want to do it? Okay, the next E is enhance. You know, many people that are going to be listening to this are people that have been teaching for a while. Is this going to take a lesson you've previously done and enhance it? Is it going to make it better? Specifically, is it going to help the students retain the information? Or like that CoSpaces one that I just talked about, is it going to help them remember? Is it going to create this vision in their head so that when we go to discuss that topic later, is it going to hit home? The last E is extend the classroom. And when I say extend the classroom, I'm talking, envision your room. You've got those four walls. How can this technology tool take your lesson beyond those four walls? So this could be twofold. Yet again, that seems to be a thing going on here today. So is this going to allow some outside source to come in? Are you doing a mystery Skype? Or are you connecting your class with somebody far away, a different culture, maybe a CEO of a company or something like that? Or is it something that allows the parents of the students to get a glimpse of your classroom on a day-to-day basis, like a digital portfolio tool? How often have we heard, and you know, I've got a two-year-old at home. I'm sure when it comes time, we're going to be sitting there having dinner, and I say, hey, bud, how was school today? What'd you learn? He's going to say something along the lines of, nothing, it was boring, we didn't do anything. Well, there's so many tools out there that can help extend the classroom in this way, like a digital portfolio tool. Maybe it's Seesaw, Class Dojo. Blooms, they all seem to be hopping in on this digital portfolio. And I think the key to this is that now I'm going to get a notification on my phone with a picture of what the students were doing in class today, so that at the dinner table, I can say, hey, bud, I saw you're working on the solar system today. What's your favorite planet? So now my student can't say, well, I don't have a favorite planet. You know, he might if he's got a little attitude like that, but most likely he's going to say, oh man, Jupiter, it's got this big red spot on it. Oh, it was so cool. And that's going to open a conversation that allows me as the parent to continue the education from the classroom at home. And that's what I mean when does it extend the classroom. The same flip side is that using tools like that, like Blooms or Class Dojo, you have this communication between parent and teacher, they can send a message out and say, hey, this is what we're talking about today. Ask your students this question, so that it keeps education on the student's mind without hammering them and making them be there all day and bored out of their minds. So I digress. When it comes to technology tools, I have 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago or so, I started my first blog, and that was Teachers Tech Toolbox. So if you head over to teacherstechtoolbox.com, you're going to find where I post all the new tools I find. When I get something, I'm going to post about who, meaning specifically which teachers I think are going to benefit from this, how, if I need to give you step-by-step instructions on how to use a specific tool, and when. So is this tool something before class, during the middle of class, after class? You know, is it a bell ringer? Is it an exit ticket? Is it collaboration? That's what I'm talking about there. So if you've not stumbled across that website, go check it out. I'm trying to get back on blogging regularly on it. But like I said, I've got a 2-year-old. Things aren't always easy when it comes to that. Another thing I want to hit on is if you have a one-to-one setting in your school, feel very, very lucky. You know, I work in a school setting where we do have one-to-one, and I struggle to imagine not having that option. You know, use whatever you have at your disposal. I'm still working on the conversation on whether or not students should be allowed to use their cell phones in class. You know, that can come back to the whole Alice Keeler and Craig Clement discussion on limiting the use of technology. Does it allow us to do something that we never have before? Well, if you don't have one-to-one, having that cell phone or allowing them to bring their laptop from home opens up the options for formative assessment tools like GimKit or quizzes or Kahoot, the classic Kahoot. So if you don't have that option at all, there's always formative assessment in the form of Plickers. And most teachers are going to have a smartphone by now. So if you don't have tools in front of the kids so that they can get on the internet and do a Kahoot or a quizzes, you can print off these cards and you can at least do a little bit of formative assessment using Plickers cards. So when we're looking at technology as a whole, all different schools are going to use all different things. I work in an Apple district. A lot of the schools in my area are Chromebooks. And what we really need to be focusing on with these students is that we're teaching skills, not necessarily specific tools. You know, if you're looking at document editors, whether it's Pages on Apple, Microsoft Word, or Google Docs, they all have the same formatting tools. They're just located in different areas. What we really need to be teaching these kids is how to do that proper research, where to verify that the first thing they read is actually the correct information, or at least backed up by multiple sources as well. That's the important thing, that they're filling their document, that they're filling their presentation with true information. They live in this day and age where facts are flying at them all the time. And classically, we want them to memorize things. Well, in this day and age, students have information at their fingertips. They're just going to look something up right away. We do the same thing. So how can we not expect our students to do that as well? So the key important thing is that we're teaching the students yes, this is where you're going to find the information. Find two or three other websites that say the exact same thing. You know, how do you examine and look at a URL to just at a glance figure out whether or not it is a biased website, or if you should even bother opening it up to look at it. So that's it for episode one. I really hope you took something away from this episode today, and look forward to having some more. Have a great one. Thank you for listening to the Magic Potion Podcast. This podcast was created using Anchor FM. Please subscribe and leave comments with your thoughts and ideas from the classroom. Until next time, get out there and make it happen.